Please do take a seat. And we are in Luke chapter 13. People sometimes reject religion when they hear about it. People sometimes reject religion. They reject Christianity when they hear about it. I wonder what type of religion it is that they are rejecting. Have they heard of a gospel of forgiveness, of grace, and of love? Or have they heard about religious rules and moralism and law-keeping? Because religion, I think, can do one of two things. It can either cripple and blind and burden on the one hand. And I think religion can do that. It can wear us down with the rules and things we need to achieve. Or it can set us free and release us and enable a person to stand tall. And these are the themes, I think, that are right at the centre of our reading today, which is a picture of a woman who was bent double, and she's unable to stand tall. Verse 10. There she is, a woman who has been crippled by a spirit for 18 years, bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. I wonder if you can imagine her. I certainly know someone who's like her in one of my former churches. And she was getting worse year upon year. Her back bent over, shuffling around. Everyday routines would be a chore, wouldn't they? It's hard even to look someone in the eye when you can't stand up straight. And this woman here, she had been like that for 18 years. We're not told how old she is. May have been half her life. So when Jesus saw her and he said, "Woman, you're set free from your infirmity." And he put his hands on her and she immediately straightens up. She praises God, verse 13. Of course she did. She was liberated from bondage. She saw firsthand the enormous power and authority of Jesus. That his by a word and by a touch, Jesus did for her what no doctor or surgeon could have done then or even today. It happened immediately, right there, that morning. There was no need for a chiropractor, no surgeon to realign her vertebrae, no need for physio for weeks and months on end, instantaneous. And there's no doubt that we should all be amazed by Jesus and praise God for this miracle of physical healing. Yet if we're the reader of Luke's gospel and we've made it so far this way through the whole of his story, his letter, his account of Jesus, we've seen Jesus do familiar things before. Familiar, wonderful, powerful things in people's lives that are broken and twisted. A man with leprosy, healed. A paralyzed man, able to walk. The widow's son, who died. And there's no end to the compassion of Jesus for people, and there's no limit to his ability to meet their needs. And there's never an end to praising Jesus for this. At the same time, there is something else going on here. This woman's healing, I believe, is a picture of being set free from the bondage of religious law-keeping. We see something going on deeper here in the response of the synagogue ruler to her in verse 14. He's indignant because Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is clearly the big issue that's going on here that Luke has introduced us to in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. It's about as close as what you get to what's going on here today in the Jewish religion. It's the gathering of the people who want to follow God. And Jesus is the guest preacher that day. He sees this woman in the congregation and he reaches out to her. He heals her. In fact, we're told he sets her free. Odd way of talking about a sickness. And the synagogue ruler is furious. He steps up. Maybe it's his job to give the notices, and says, I've got one more for you folks today. No one else is to come up here for healing. Come on, we've got rules for how we do things here. There are 6 days for work. So come back tomorrow and be healed. Not on the Sabbath. I think this is about religious rule keeping. In the Jewish religion, there were all kinds of rules, including what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath day. Not just back then, but today also. I've looked them up online. And it's the kind of thing I do. Let me read out some of them for you. There's one page of them. There's the other page of them. Oh, here we go. Shabbat rules. The Shabbat laws are quite complex, requiring careful study and a qualified teacher. At first, it's often overwhelming and seems like an impossible number of restrictions. But spending Shabbat with others who are Shabbat observant will show you that eventually you too can be comfortable with the Shabbat laws, as long as you realize that Shabbat observance is a gradual process rather than overnight transformation. You will also recognize that the wealth of details provides for a lifetime of scholarship. You've got to study them for the whole of your life to get to grips with them. Let's start with some basics, which you must refrain on the Sabbath. So these things we must not do on the Sabbath. Writing, erasing and tearing, business transactions, driving or riding in cars or other vehicles, shopping, using the telephone, turning off or on anything which uses electricity, including lights, radios, televisions, computer, air conditioners, alarm clocks, cooking, baking or kindling a fire, gardening and grass mowing, doing laundry. In addition to those mentioned above, two other important categories which are not permitted, touching items that are considered forbidden, and carrying things outdoors. And these are just the basics. And as it says, it takes a lifetime to really understand them all. And then you can find a whole list of ways in which you can do the things that you would otherwise have been able to do, but without breaking the laws. Any serious-minded Jew today will be intent on keeping those rules and more. The crucial thing is that you won't find any of those rules in the Bible. They're man-made rules. And they're made by people who are serious about keeping God's law. They've read the fourth commandment, that we should keep the Sabbath day holy. So these rules are actually an attempt to do that, an attempt to be faithful and true to God. That's why the synagogue ruler was indignant. Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, which he wasn't allowed to do because that was considered as work. And so in the mind of the synagogue ruler, Jesus had worked on the Sabbath. He'd broken God's law. So he says, verse 14, there are 6 days for work. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Why did the synagogue ruler stand up and address the congregation that day? Well, he did it to tell Jesus not to work on the Sabbath. He did it to tell everyone that Jesus was in the wrong. And that the woman today, and for the woman, he was saying, today isn't the day for healing. If you want to be healed, come back tomorrow. Well, we've enough information already to know how ridiculous that is. If she had come back the next morning, she would have not have been healed. Why do we know that? Well, she's not been healed for 18 years, Sabbath or not. It's a ridiculous comment. And here's the thing. It's devoid of all compassion and all care and all concern for this poor woman who'd been shuffling through life for nearly 2 decades. And as it is, it exposes the Sabbath rules for being completely out of line with God's law. No love for people. I wonder if you could turn back a couple of pages to where we started our series 5 weeks ago, to chapter 10. And you may like to grab hold of your news sheet as well, because there's some other cross-references I'm going to refer to in just a second. So chapter 10, verse 27, which is the summary of God's law. This is what Jesus said. This is the summary of God's law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what is written in God's law. All the other commands that come from God are to lead to these two things, to us loving God and to us loving others. So if it's not about loving God and about loving people, then it's not God's law. The Sabbath laws would never restrict me from helping and loving other people. God is a good God, a kind God. His commandments are for our good. Love is at the heart of his commands, because love is at the heart of who God is. And his commands will always lead me to love him and to love others more. Which is why Jesus did for this woman who was bent double for the last 18 years what he did. He loved her. Jesus knew how to read God's laws in the way of love. Here we now turn to our cross references. And the first is in Leviticus. And if you are good with your Bibles, you could turn back to page 130. If you would rather just read it on the news sheet, it's there printed as well. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 13. This is what God said. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Literally, to make you walk erect, to walk upright. Exactly what Jesus was doing for the woman who's bent double. As Jesus rescues his people out of slavery, he's releasing us from the bondage of burdens that break our backs. He's rescuing us so that we won't be weighed down by countless rules and regulations that are simply too hard to keep. He rescues us so that we can stand up straight with no burdens weighing us down. What Jesus did for that poor woman, he wants to do for all of us. It's God's plan, it's God's purpose. As he rescued the Egyptians, he rescued them out of a slavery so that they could walk tall with heads held high, freed from captivity. This woman has been coming to the synagogue for 18 years in a captivity of her own. This is the point of the Sabbath law, to bring release, not imprisonment. It was completely fitting that Jesus performed this healing on the Sabbath. Here is the wonderful good news of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus sets us free. If you look at the other cross-reference in Galatians chapter 5, maybe it is easier just to look at it on the news sheet here. Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. And do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ has come to set us free. Paul wrote that in the knowledge that there are certain types of religion that are always wanting to tie us up with rules and regulations, burdens which are like a slavery. And this is exactly what he criticized the religious leaders for earlier in Luke. It's there on the handout as well. Luke 11:46. Jesus pulls no punches. He said, you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Isn't that what the synagogue ruler was doing that day? Burdening people down with man-made rules, rules we can't keep, rules that weigh us down, leaving us spiritually bent double, giving us back-breaking rules, and then doing absolutely nothing to help us to keep them. Come back another time. Well, let's get back to the story. Luke 13, just to see how devastating and then how brilliant the conclusion is. Luke 13. Verse 15, Jesus answers him, "You hypocrites." Well, that's harsh, isn't it, Jesus? And he goes on to say why they're hypocrites. "Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give water? It's Sabbath. You tie your donkey up in the heat of the day. Sorry, I can't give you any water to tide you through the day. It's Sabbath." He goes away. He comes back at lunchtime. The donkey is clearly struggling. "Sorry, donkey, you'll have to hold on until the end of the day." He comes back at tea time, and donkey's on his knees, starting to pass out. "Just a few more hours, donkey." You don't do that, do you? You feed your donkey. And you won't help a person? That's Jesus' point here to the synagogue ruler. You won't help a person on the Sabbath? Their religious rule-keeping leads animals to be treated better than people. I like animals. We used to have cats. My grandmother always had dogs. And it's lovely to have animals in your life. But they can never be treated better than people. That can't be right. The religious leaders are very happy on the Sabbath to notice the words untie, to release the ox or the donkey to give it water. Of course you would. But they were indignant when Jesus set this woman free, when he released her, when he untied her from her burdens. This woman who'd been bound by Satan for 18 years. Verse 16. What a statement that is. Bound by Satan. Her physical situation is somehow a picture of the spiritual state of everyone who's imprisoned by the burden of keeping man-made laws, religious rules. Says, if I obey the rules, God will accept me. But Christ says, because I trust in Jesus, who's done everything for me, dying on the cross, dying in my place, I'm acceptable. I'm accepted by God. And that's what freed Martin Luther from his spiritual prison. In that little video, you saw the chains fell off as he understood the theology of God's grace, God's love, God's free forgiveness. When he discovered the relief to know that Jesus died to take that burden from me, and that being acceptable to God is not down to my performance, but down to Jesus' death for me. Such brilliant news. Such brilliant news that Satan doesn't want me or anyone else to believe that or to know that. Satan wants us to believe it's all about keeping rules. Because Satan doesn't want me to come to Jesus Christ. He doesn't want me to take the free gift of grace and forgiveness and relationship with God. He wants me to try to earn my salvation by keeping rules, and because that's a denial and a rejection of Jesus and what he's come to do. It means I'll never turn to him. And what's more, I'll be left bound like a tethered donkey. I'll be left burdened and bowed down by breaking rules like that woman. And that's why religious rule keeping is from Satan, says Jesus. It ruins life and keeps me from God, both now and for eternity. I don't know if anyone's been watching this TV series Broken. I know one or two people have recommended it to me. I only saw one episode of it. And it's, I think it's on BBC. It's just finished. It portrays, I think, a realistic but gritty portrayal of a Catholic priest wrestling with pastoral issues in his parish, and the people that are involved there. I've not seen much of it, but I know that the issues have touched people. Yet I think at the center of this story is a priest who's carrying around his own burden from which he can't be released. He can't work his way out of it. He doesn't feel worthy. He can't earn it. It doesn't result in him rejecting God or rejecting the church, but neither can he be free and joyful in Christ. I don't know what quite were the issues that led him to that struggle in his own life. But it is the kind of religion that people sometimes walk away from. They don't feel like they deserve it. They don't like it. They can't live up to it. They feel imprisoned by the guilt or the past somehow. And many do reject it because they're not finding the freedom and the grace and the love and the forgiveness that they actually need. Like this poor woman, it breaks their backs and they turn from it, and I can't blame them. Well, this woman who's been going to the synagogue for 18 years, week after week, attempting, I guess, to keep the man-made rules, it didn't heal her. It doesn't work. People walk away from this kind of religion eventually. It's not Christianity, though, that they're walking away from. But see here the difference that Jesus makes. He sets us free. He doesn't leave us burdened. He takes the burden from us by dying on the cross because he loves us that much. Sets us free. Leaves us with joy. How did it end for the woman? Verse 13. She went away praising God. How do we wrap this up? Well, I think there's a warning here about man-made rules, to be aware of this. There's an awful lot of religion that is not from God, but is just from people, and may keep us from coming to Christ and discovering him. We're as likely to get that wrong as any church. Rules or norms that we think might be helpful for people to keep God's commands, but actually can enslave us. In contrast, God's commands are about loving God and loving others. And at the end of Luke's gospel, well, it tells us how to respond to God's commands. Because Jesus isn't saying you can just go and do whatever you like. But at the end of the gospel, we see Jesus dying on a cross. We see Jesus came to free us in a way that was free to us, but costly to God. When I see God's commands, well, I realize that God couldn't just forgive us. Jesus had to die. When I see the law of God is so serious that it cost Jesus his life, then I won't ignore God's commands. I'll want to take them seriously. After all, my failure to live them out cost Jesus his life. And that bothers me as a Christian. But when I really understand the gospel, it doesn't mean I go and do what I like, but it means I want to live God's way. Because I know how much it costs God to forgive me. And I know that his way is good. But in the end, it's not about living up to God's commands. Jesus' death tells me there's no condemnation for me ever again, even when I mess up. I don't need to beat myself up about my failures, but I come back and I receive his grace time and time again. This is a wonderful, joyful place to be. Let's pray.